Well, we bring in Howard Bryant, and Howard, a good friend of ours and one of the leading writers in the country for ESPN and other various outlets, and an author as well. Howard, how are you this morning?
Good, Marty. How are you?
Very good. Glad to have you on with me. And, you know, for me, this is always a very special day. I grew up in Brooklyn. I saw Jackie Robinson play. I understand the history of it. So for me, it's a big day. But my question to you, and I love having you on today especially, what is Jackie's legacy today? Is it changing each year with everything that's going on in the country? Has Jackie become more important?
Well, it's an interesting question, Marty, and it's a very difficult one to answer at some level, because you wonder less about Jackie and you wonder more about us as a people. I wonder if Jackie has been co-opted like so many people get co-opted, so many famous people get co-opted, where you decide to shape him into your image instead of who he was, meaning that when you look at what's happening in sports today, you look at the different levels of protest, the different levels of outspokenness. You have so many different athletes out there today who feel like they have something to say. That, in so many ways, is the legacy of Jackie Robinson, yet so many of these people out there can simultaneously salute Jackie and then tell players to shut up. That doesn't quite speak to what Jackie Robinson was all about. So I wonder if we have created for ourselves sort of an ahistorical pathway where you get to have both. You get to talk about how great Martin Luther King Jr. was, and you get to talk about how great Jackie Robinson was, but yet in real time, in your time, you don't want a Jackie Robinson to exist. To me, that's a dangerous thing, and it's happening.
No, very well put. I knew you would hit it hard on that one. What would Jackie think today if Jackie was here today? What would he think about baseball and what he wanted? We know what he said prior to his death at the World Series. What would Jackie think about baseball today?
Well, I think if you study Robinson, obviously, I never saw Jackie Robinson died when I was 3 years old. So it's not as though I could actually tell you anything about who he was as a person outside of research and having the wonderful pleasure of meeting Rachel Robinson several times. To me, I think obviously there would be some levels of disappointment simply because anybody who is part of that great baseball heritage would look at where baseball is today and be disappointed, not necessarily because the numbers aren't where they should be, but because we are not paying enough attention to the barriers to entry. I know baseball's numbers are up this year in terms of African-American participation, but the real question to me is it's the barriers to entry. It's the openness of the game. Are we making the game accessible to people? How is the game being marketed and sold to people? And I think that, and, you know, Marty, you and I talked about this a little bit during spring training when I saw you a couple of weeks ago. You have this sport right now that is being sold through data and being sold through the front offices, when you have unbelievable, wonderful stories right now, whether it's Otani and Mike Trout, or, you know, what the Giants are doing, you know, McCutcheon and Longoria, and the game is still run by the players. And so I think when you look at somebody like a Robinson, who was a player advocate, who was a dynamic, electric player, I think that I think he would wonder the way many, many people are wondering, just how we sell this game to our youth and how we sell the game to the future.
Boy, I agree. The NBA does a better job of it. So does the NFL. Baseball has never understood how to sell it in a mass way to make the players entertaining. Their personalities. Do you think that's a true statement?
Well, I do, and I think what's interesting, though, it's correct in that baseball has always struggled with players versus owners. I mean, that has been the subtext of that sport for forever, in terms of, you know, pre-Marvin Miller, during Marvin Miller, post-Marvin Miller. I mean, it's always been sort of, baseball has been the sport of labor and the sport of management. But I do remember when I was a kid, and maybe it was simply my time, and maybe if I'm a 13-year-old today doesn't look at the game through war and on-base percentage and labor, but maybe looks at it the same way we all looked at it, which is through the players. Maybe it's not that different. But in terms of national face of the game, when I was down in spring training, I think it was during an A's-Dodgers spring training game, some of the scouts and execs were talking about how one of them saw Mike Trout walking through a Nordstrom during spring training, and nobody walked up to him and nobody said a word to him. And the argument was Aaron Rodgers could never do that, and neither could Tom Brady, and neither could LeBron. Yeah. And so we've got a problem with this sport that our game doesn't translate. Like if Reggie Jackson back in the day, or if Ken Griffey Jr. or Barry Bonds walked into a Nordstrom during spring training, they would be mobbed. How come the best player in the game is not being mobbed today? Does that say something? Well, the counter to that, obviously, is the argument that the turnstiles are still going, and if you look at the money, people are still going to the games. So it's a really interesting question about how you view what we're seeing.
Well, Ohtani is changing that. Ohtani is all of a sudden this international star, and I'd love to get your thoughts about it. He's a hitter, he's a pitcher, he's a left-handed hitter with that right arm exposed all the time. People are going to start busting him inside, but look what Ohtani has done to the sport.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I tell you, when I was at, I think it might have been that same game, I saw Billy Owens, one of Billy Bean's guys in his front office, and Ohtani was hitting 132, and the sky was falling, and people were going nuts during spring training, and there was, people were talking about how, what's Billy Epler going to do? Is he going to, does he risk having this guy who can't play come to the big leagues, or he can't afford to have him in the, start the season in the minors? And, it was just that baseball talk, because baseball is always so good about talking about what people can't do and the great doomsday scenarios. And Billy said, yeah, but if you remember, Ichiro wasn't hitting either during spring training. And when the lights went on, he was the MVP of the league. So let's just pump the brakes a little bit. And now you look at Ohtani. And so I kind of remember that conversation. He's terrific. He's exactly what this game needs. He's exactly he is as advertised. And I'm looking forward. I'm hoping, because I'm down in Huntington Beach right now, I'm hoping that I will see him next week when the Red Sox come to town.
Well, you'll probably see him hit. But I think we're going to see him pitch next Sunday when the Giants come to town.
And that's the thing. That's the beauty of the sport, where you start circling who's pitching. That's when you know that you're onto something in terms of marketing players. And I hope that I don't know how comfortable he is. I've never met him. I don't know how comfortable he is, but you hope that he embraces what comes his way. And that's one of the problems that baseball has had, too, is that you've had players who simply don't want to be that face. They want to blend in and not show anybody up and take away that sort of marketing power that the game has always had.
So who are the players that we circle on the days that we may want to go to the ballgame? Fernando Valenzuela was kind of like that. Mark Fidrich was like that.
Sure.
I said yesterday,
but Marty, you're going back 40 years.
I know. I said Vita. I'll go back even further. Vita, Charlie Finley marketed him on the big nights he would have him pitch. But, you have to think about it. Then it turned into the hitters of coming out.
No
to
question.
And you know what happened in the 90s to see the Maguire, Sosa, and all that.
Well, I can tell you that for me as a professional, it's different than when I was a kid. But I know that we've talked about rehabilitation, and certainly that's one of the big issues right now is the rehabilitation of a lot of these players from the steroid era, which obviously is appropriate if you want to have a game. You can't. I don't necessarily love it, but you can't eliminate 20 years of baseball if you want to have an industry. Barry Bonds was the guy for me. I don't, like I said, I have my issues with Barry. Barry has his issues with me. I've even thought about our exchanges over the years. But he's the guy. When I think about it over the past 20 years, when he was up, you did not go into the kitchen.
Right.
You did not leave the TV. When you knew Barry was coming up, you made sure that you saw what he was going to do. And that's what baseball needs. I like to feel that. I want to feel that again with the Yankees and the Red Sox. We saw a little bit of that last week. I like the fact that the Dodgers and the Giants started to get it on a little bit. I like the fact that you're seeing, McCutchen and Longoria have a couple of good games, and you're hoping that you can, put together a full season where they can make noise and be present. And I think that if you can do that, and obviously Ohtani and let's not forget, let's not forget the champions. I mean, the Houston Astros have a number four hitter in every slot in that lineup.
Yeah.
So if you have that, you have something worth watching. If you don't, then you look at numbers.
Yeah, good story. It's a good story. Howard Bryan with us. Howard, always a pleasure. ESPN. And you've got a new book coming out. Is that correct?
I do. I have a new book coming out. It's called The Heritage, Black Athletes, Divided America, and the Politics of Patriotism. Speaking of sports and protest on Jackie Robinson Day, it really is all about what we've been talking about how when it comes to black players, stick to sports has never been an option. And the fact that that is the case, it should make it very clear as to why you're hearing players talk today. However, I think one of the interesting things about the book that I do like about it is that it also talks about how in some ways you really can't underestimate the power of 9/11 on sports, that you've got this sort of post 9/11 militarism and patriotism at the ballpark colliding with this revival of black players being politically active. And all of a sudden, this place where you went to get away from your problems is now the most political of all of our entertainment in the country.
Wow. Wow. Good book. Good book. You got to send me a copy. We'll have you on. Is it out already?
No. May 8th, Marty. May 8th.
Okay. We'd love to have you on. I know Murph will probably have you on as well, but absolutely. One thought before we let Howard Bryant go. We had Eno Saris on yesterday. I like this kid a lot. He's a young man. But he writes for The Athletic, and he's sort of the analytical guy. And I said, go back and look at Jackie Robinson and tell me, in terms of a player, give me some comparison as to who he would be. And he said he was so dynamic in the league at that time that it would be the equivalent of having Ricky Henderson as your second baseman.
Yep.
How about that?
No, absolutely. No, and it's true. And when you were talking about this earlier, I was about to say Ricky as well. I talked to Billy about this when I was down in Mesa. And Billy Bean was sitting there, and he looked back and he laughed as I was asking him a whole bunch of questions about Ricky. And he pretty much said, with the advanced analytics that we use today, you couldn't pay Ricky Henderson enough. He's that good. And it's funny that you'd make that Jackie connection. Once again, Marty, we've been having this conversation for years, and all the years that we've known each other, this game is about the players and about the electricity that the players bring to the field. And if you take that away, you lose everything.
So
and I just love it.
I love it. No, so what do you tell your son about Jackie Robinson?
I tell him many things, obviously, but the first thing I tell him is figure it out for yourself. Grab a book. You're 13 years old. Start reading. Give him the books to read. Give him the things that are out there. Let him learn for himself. About what this is, because once again, so many of the things I used to tell people all the time that Jackie Robinson was one of my favorite players. How can you have a guy be one of your all-time favorite players when he retired 12 years before you were born? It's because of the electricity of what he brought, what you read about him, what existed in your imagination. So go onto my bookshelf and read about him and let him absorb himself into your imagination. And then if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. But you got to do this on your own.
Beautiful. Howard, I love having you on. Thank you so much for coming on today. And I'll look forward to having you on again, and we'll talk about the book and everything. So I appreciate it.
Thank you, Marty.
Very good. Boy, that's an interview. Howard Bryant, ESPN. More coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.